Fasten your seatbelts, get the tissues ready, and polish up those dancing shoes. We're going down musical memory lane with me, Monique Chambers, and a bunch of guests that have got really eclectic taste. Welcome to this week's Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Chris McCarthy. Now, we don't really know each other at all. We met on Zoom a few weeks ago, and you had a whole stack of records behind you, and I just thought, yeah, I'm interviewing that guy. You know, however this meeting goes, I'm interviewing this guy for my show. So you're seriously into music.
I am seriously into music, but I would say caveat that by saying buying records and listening to records are kind of two separate hobbies. So yeah, I do enjoy music, but I think I enjoy buying music more.
I'm a bit like that with fabric.
Right.
So I buy much more than I use. I think it's the sort of weakness of having hobbies. But what sort of music do you buy? Because it's all on vinyl, I'm guessing, everything you buy.
Yeah. Everything I buy is on vinyl. I would say at heart, I'm just like an old man indie kid. So it's pale, skinny white boys with guitars, probably. Oh. I'd say was mostly. But yeah, like most people, I like a bit of everything.
Bit of everything. But your musical memories were not what I was expecting. I've got to tell you, because having seen all this, you know, this vinyl, the first track, memory from my youth as well, Michael Jackson, Beat It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so where does that take you?
It takes me back to a time when that came out. I was probably about 9 or 10 years old. And it brings back to memory a time my dad was in the Air Force. He's from the UK, he's from Wales. We got posted to the Netherlands. It was very normal feeling at the time to be there. But when you kind of look back at that life of kind of living somewhere, we lived in a block of flats in this Dutch town, and everyone in the block of flats had a dad who was in the Air Force. So it was just an unusual time with hindsight, looking back to it, of living in a community, but everyone that you lived with was kind of had a dad in the same occupation. So it was kind of an expat life, but it was very much just all about being kind of military based. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time. I think if you have a parent in the forces and you grew up as like a forces brat, that they call you, I think it's a brilliant life when you look back on it, apart from the downside of always being the new kid about moving schools, going to different schools every few years. But the good thing about that was we moved there. I was there for like 3 years. And during that 3 years in that block, there was always people coming and going as they ended their three years. And what I really liked was that because everyone went there on their like own, you didn't go with your old school friends or whatever. It was like arriving at university kind of thing. So you were always, people were very, very, very welcoming because they knew where you were coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was just a soundtrack to that time. I remember my dad went to the library and he got the tape out of Thriller, and he recorded it onto like an old C60 or C90. And I just thought it was the most immaculate piece of, and as an album, just absolutely amazing. It still holds up. He was like magical back then. I mean, it's a different conversation to have about him now. But I think it was just it soundtracked that kind of life of being kind of young and living this unusual life. Yeah,
my dad was in the forces too, he was in the army, and that same thing, moving house every 10 minutes, it felt like, because the army just sort of break you up. We weren't in a regiment, we were attached. And I remember the poster for this. I remember Michael Jackson in a yellow waistcoat.
Oh, so stylish.
Oh, man. You know, with all the chains and everything. So we're going to have a bit of a bop to this. This is Beat It, Michael Jackson, coming at you. Now, sadly, I've realised I'm a bit older than you, but I'm wondering with this next song, do you still remember the dance?
The dance? No, but I would have seen that dance a million times. Okay.
She's still touring shopping malls doing this song.
Oh, good.
Imagine. Yeah. So this is Tiffany, I Think We're Alone Now. I think this is going to take us down another track, isn't it? Tell us, Chris. Talk about Tiffany to us.
Okay, yeah. I'm not sure how well remembered she is, but this song kind of pops up every now and again. But I'm going to blush telling you this, because this was my first true love, Tiffany. I guess it came out when I was maybe 12 years old. Aww. And for however long that she was around, or before I kind of moved into being into more kind of depressing kind of indie music when I was 14 and discovered the Smiths, I would say, yeah, that I was obsessed with her for a while. My room was a shrine to Tiffany. So God bless her. Yeah, absolutely wonderful woman.
But look her up, still singing the song. Everybody, if you can't remember the dance, I will do a short video for you on Facebook. BBC, they remixed that one. It's so old.
Right.
But bless. Now, this one I had to look up. I don't even know the band, The House of Love. And the track you've chosen is Shine On.
Okay, yeah, this is this is very much up my street. This was kind of a gateway band for me. They didn't really trouble the charts too much. They were a little bit of a flash in the pan in the kind of indie verse. Why it's relevant to me is that when I was kind of in school, a friend of mine said, oh, you know this song, Shine On, that we both kind of liked, and you'd hear it occasionally on late night kind of...
The FBS did you have in those days?
Yeah. We did. Yeah. Is that still around?
I don't think it is, actually.
It's got a lot to answer for. Yeah. So, yeah, a friend of mine, we were living, actually, though, back in Wales by then, where I'm from, and a school friend said, yeah, that band, you know, they're coming to Cardiff, they're going to play at the university. We were, like, young teens and not at the university. And he said, my dad can get us tickets, he works at the university, do you want to come? And I was like, you know, I mean, I like that song, but I'm not really into seeing bands or whatever. So I went along begrudgingly, and, you know, when you're kind of like 13, 14, probably about 14 by then, when you go and hang out with, like, teenagers at the gig, who are like college, university students, sort of like 18, 19, you go into like this big hall, waiting for the band to come on, there's lads there in leather jackets, girls with dyed hair, and it just seems so incredibly cool. They're drinking, they're smoking as you could in those days. I was blown away by it, and then the lights went down, smoke came, machines came on, lights came on, and these lads just came on stage and started hitting this guitars, wailing. And I was like, I'm totally all in for this lifestyle. And I think it just, yeah, that really got me hooked on the experience of being like really, really into like kind of live music, going to see bands, still love that now. But it was just like, it was just like an epiphany kind of thing. Yeah,
absolutely. Telling me you've just come back from a big festival type thing.
Yes, I go to a festival in Barcelona called Primavera Sound. I've been going, that was my 11th time. Because I do like to see like those kind of bands, but you really have to kind of travel. You know, they're not coming to Malta, unfortunately, not yet anyway. It's rare that we get ones. So, yeah, I like to go away and meet some friends there, and we just hang out in Barcelona. I see all my bands in the space of like 3 or 4 days, and that'll tide me over then to next year.
Get your fill.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take you back to this memory, the House of Love, Shine On.
Go on.
Sitting lonely on a plastic chair, son is cruel when he hides away. I need a sister, I'll just stay.
Okay, now the next one is M Beat featuring General Levy, and incredible. Not sure I can look at you in the same light after this, but what?
Yeah, so this one isn't so much a track that I would be listening to myself, but it's a track that kind of came out around the time that I left home in Wales to go to university, went to East London. It was right on the fringes of East London. It was just a massive kind of shift, obviously, in lifestyle and the local kind of community. And what I remember about this was this is like a drum and bass jungle tune. It was just absolutely kind of everywhere. And I think drum and bass and jungle, this genre of music was kind of new then. And I think, yeah, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing this kind of blaring out of some shop or blaring out of some stereo somewhere in somebody's car. So it just reminds me of that kind of feeling of freedom of being away in university, just that London life and just a totally and utterly different vibe of being moving from like just outside Cardiff to kind of East London. It was, yeah.
Incredible.
It's incredible. Mate. Yeah. But yeah, it's not a brilliant tune, but it's one that brings back memories of that time.
Do you kind of shake and dance about when you hear it? Does it just really take you back like that? You're just like, oh god, I remember, I've got those memories of, you know, kebab nights and stuff.
I think it's a bit of both, but yeah, it's certainly a powerful tune. But yeah, I apologize to anyone who has to sit all the way through this. Hopefully you won't have to.
Wicked jungle is massive. Wicked, wicked jungle is massive. Wicked, wicked jungle is massive. Wicked original. Well, big up! And the original jungle is massive. The original dancehall jungle is there. General Levy alongside the MV. The world is in trouble. A woman tell a murderer. It goes, I am the incredible general. Sensation, now when it comes in. Incredible general. Select the net. Yo! Mad the world of them. I spin them like a windmill. You talk with them. Talk to them how we got this skill. Let's bring the infantry bill. I think girls see you with vices like them things get for feel. Pass on with them with a pass on with them with a cold life with them with a chill. I go win a set to win a over the hill. When the world comes to see that, gonna must say sick, gonna must say ill. Sit deep on the envy, gonna make time for right your will. Come now.
Animercy.
So what? Booyaka, when the Booyaka, booyaka, MV from the dance. Booyaka, booyaka, we no take part no that. Booyaka, booyaka. Incredible. Mr. Lee, keep on the mandate, tell him I'm free the general. Keep on back, in the back side. We keep that original.
Okay, calming down from that one. Actually, to a track I really, really love. Might have to dance around the studio to this one. This is Stardust's Music Sounds Better With You. This is going to be a nice story. I can just feel it in the waters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how can you not have a good time to this song,
yeah,
right? It's,
yeah,
it's fantastic. Okay, I feel like so far we're going chronologically through my life here. And if the last tune was about going to kind of university, this is kind of coming back to Wales, finishing up with education for good, moved out of home, living with friends, working full time, enjoying the city life, just having money for the first time after being years of being a student, just going out and just like no responsibilities, just having the best time. And I think this is just captures everything. It's just like so, it's like clean, pure, fresh air. This song is just wonderful.
It absolutely is. So full blast, everyone, for Stardust's Music Sounds Better With You. So, Moby, are you going to take us somewhere heavy again? This is like, this is why does my heart feel so bad?
Okay, I'm going to take you somewhere heavy. I'm going to take you to Australia because this is a tune that, well, an album that was from an album called Play, I believe, and it came out about 99, 2000. So after having my good time post-university back home, I realised that I just couldn't live my life just going on and just being partying and listening to, like, that music sounds better with you. So I thought I'd just kind of pack up and go to Australia and just, like, kind of reinvent myself in a way, just see what was going on out there. And this, wherever I travelled, all the different backpackers and stuff around Australia, this album was always playing. It seemed to be kind of a soundtrack to the backpacker life. What's also interesting about this particular song that made me kind of pull it out is at the time, I had a few different people say, this sounds like a song I've heard my whole life. So it kind of brings back memories for people that, you know, that weren't real in a way. You know, it's, I'm not maybe describing that as best as I could. But I thought it was kind of interesting that, yeah, that he put together an album and songs that resonated so much that people felt that they'd always been in touch with them. So I don't know if that means really with hindsight that he was being really kind of progressive ahead of his time or just being totally generic. I don't know. But anyway, it was just like a brilliant piece of music for just a great time of, yeah, traveling around again, total out of freedom. And there's kind of a version of yourself that's, I think, more real when you're traveling. You know, when you go away on holiday and something, there's something when you're not thinking about work, you're not thinking about anything. That you kind of, you're a different version of yourself. And I wonder if sometimes that's kind of the real version of yourself.
Mm.
I don't know. Up for debate.
Otherwise you'd live on holiday, I suppose, if you could. But then you end up having to still work and you end up going into that, the other persona, don't you?
Yeah.
So, we shall ponder that.
You think about
it. To Moby, the new philosopher. why does my heart feel so bad?
Why does my heart feel so bad? Why does my soul feel so bad? Why does my heart feel so bad? Why does my soul does my heart feel so bad? Why does my soul
Why does my soul feel so bad?
Now, the Charlatans, I'm glad I'm older than you in this case, because they weren't in my thing. You know, they sort of came when I was too cool. I was actually into Elvis when I was young. Who am I kidding? You know, I still am. But the Charlatans, I just don't know them.
Okay.
You know, I literally have to look them up. And if somebody had a T-shirt, I would be like, oh, okay, whatever. I can see your face.
Wow, you've been a Brit as well. They're like royalty now.
Yeah, but that Brit rocky pop stuff was just not my thing. It's quite sort of a bit of a downer. I don't know. I didn't really. I'm
a body blow.
Fun. the Charlatans, How High, random. But where does this one take you then? Because this really intrigues me.
Okay, this is more of a personal one. So kind of the next step of my not that interesting journey is that I ended up from Australia, ending up settling for a while in Japan. Went over as an English teacher, ended up staying. Met somebody there who's now my wife, Tomie Makita. She's Japanese, and we worked together. She was the manager of the school that I worked at, and this reminds me of our courtship, if that word still applies. So I remember her taking me out. We kind of worked together but didn't speak together, and she asked me if I would accompany her to go to this kind of work event. She said, I'll pick you up, and I remember. Actually, when I first got in the car, she had it on Oasis. So I said, oh, Oasis, we talked a little bit about Oasis or whatever. But then as we started kind of like dating and stuff and driving around, she had the car. This song basically reminds me of getting to know her, kind of falling in love with her, just bombing around Japan, and her nodding her head to this song by the Charlatans, How High.
So I'll listen to it with different eyes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I'm going to talk to you more about Japan because I'm fascinated by Japan. So, How High by the Charlatans, coming at you.
Watch you break up, coming from
this is so much more my cup of tea. So
okay, good.
we can be friends, okay? So, there's a couple of good ones in here, and Miles Davis, yeah, any of his tracks, frankly. But you've put So What in there. Yeah, I love it. Where does it take you?
All right, okay. This is also moving along slightly a bit more. Still in Japan, but this was Japan is a land. When I was there, of like jazz music, you can't avoid it. If you go in, if you've read Murakami, you know that he's kind of all about like jazz music. You go into coffee shops in Japan, there's jazz playing. There's a lot of it around. And at that time, I made friends with somebody who was actually in Japan as a jazz drummer, and he introduced me, really, because it's such a massive genre of music, like, to get into. He kind of walked me through it and showed me which artists to get into. So I was listening to jazz a lot, and I kind of noticed that a lot of the great jazz albums have got blue in the title. Like, this Kind of Blue is the track, comes from this album that we're going to hear about, and it's like Blue Train by Coltrane that I was listening to a lot. And then, this is ridiculous now, I'm going to say it out loud. But I remember going to see like an art exhibition, and I think it was something, I want to say it was like Van Gogh, and it was like his blue period. Mm-hmm. And then I just started to think, oh, yeah, blue, everything that's good is blue. And in life, I think you're either a blue person or a red person. I'm very much a blue person. And I was listening to this a lot, this kind of jazz a lot, when my daughter was born. It reminds me of her coming along, and her middle name is Blue because of this.
Oh, yeah. That's actually really lovely.
There you go.
Aw. Yeah. Really nice artistic thought. So we're going to mellow out, listen to So What by Miles Davis, and oh, what a really nice story. That's yeah. Lovely. Aww.
Thank you.
So you've got a couple more on your list here. There's the Beatles, mm-hmm. Girl, yeah. which is a great song. Quick memory about that one?
Okay, the memory of this one is that it's not my memory. It's my mother's favourite song. But I have a memory of that's not mine, but it's been implanted as mine, is being at home with my family, my mum in the kitchen, I think, maybe doing the dishes, and my dad telling my sister, put on that song. It's your mum's favourite. And my mum just swaying to it with her eyes closed. But I wasn't there. But my sister tells that story. And when I hear that song, it reminds me of that memory, which I feel is my memory, but it wasn't mine.
Oh, still a nice one.
It's a good one, though.
Sadly, we can't re-invoke that one for you because we haven't got time to play it. But we are going to go straight into Phoebe Bridgers' Smoke Signals, if you just tell us a little story about that one first.
Yeah, OK, this isn't probably the most contemporary song on here. And this brings us more kind of up to date. My daughter now is... I've got one daughter. She's just turned 16. And, yeah, we both love Phoebe Bridgers. So most of our conversations are music-related. And, yeah, this is something we've really bonded over. We're going to go and see her next month in Milan. Very excited about it. But it's just something that kind of we have in common, and yeah, it means the world to me. Listen to this.
It's been really lovely to getting to know you through your musical memories. Chris McCarthy, thank you for joining me, Monique Chambers, this week.
I'm gonna solve with you riding shotgun. speeding, cause fuck the cops. And you,
we hope you've enjoyed visiting Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest. Tune in next week for more.